Go ahead and get your Bibles out this morning, and I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 23, and I want you to stand, please, and I want to call your attention to a couple of verses in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 23, and we want to read two verses. We want to read verse number 23 and verse number 24 this morning. Matthew chapter 23, and I want to call your attention to two verses in this chapter, verse number 23 and then verse number 24. The Bible says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." And then he goes on and he says, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this subject, the weightier matters. Here at Holy Hills Baptist Church, we're going to focus on the weightier matters. We're not going to let the small, minute things that don't even matter bust us apart. Pastor Gwen, would you pray for this message, and everybody can be seated. Yes. 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 Amen. 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 Please. Please. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you're familiar with Matthew chapter 23, you know what's going on. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a scathing rebuke of the Pharisee. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bible and study it, you'll find that there's no one or no other group of people in the Bible that Jesus rebukes as harshly as the Pharisee. Now, you know who the Pharisees were? I'm not going to go into a big detailed description of the Pharisee, but let's just put it plain and straight this morning. You know, that's how I like to do it anyway. They were a religious, self-righteous, pious people full of the devil on their way straight to hell. I said they were religious, they were pious, they were very self-righteous, and they were heading straight for hell. And I just want to focus on one of the many problems of the Pharisees that was dealt with in this chapter. Now listen, when you read about the Pharisees, you read that the Pharisees put a great emphasis on outward deeds and appearances. And they de-emphasize the important things that deal especially with a man's heart. And I want you to notice that the Lord rebukes them because, notice what he says there in verse number 23, they have omitted the weightier matters. The weightier matters hold more weight because they are more important. And I want us to look at the passage and get a few things out of this passage, and then I want to make some application with this to our church here this morning. First of all, the passage did not say that the less important things are unimportant. It didn't say that. As a matter of fact, there in verse number 23, it says, "These ought ye to have done, and not to leave them undone." So, it didn't say that they were unimportant, and it didn't say that they were not to be done. And I'm going to speak to you a little bit later in this message about some things that I'm not saying is not important. They're just not important enough to bust the church up over. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going to have to learn to overlook some of these things. Second of all, the passage did, in fact, say that some parts of the law are weightier than other parts of the law. He tells you that there in verse number 23, where he says, "You have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith." It doesn't matter. Listen, God's not just concerned, and you get this. I don't even care. I don't care if it was under the law right now, right here, right in the church age. God's not just concerned about what you and I do, ladies and gentlemen. He's concerned about why we do it. Amen. Our heart condition, our motive. It's not just enough that you do right. Why are you doing right? Are you doing right for the right reason? And God's going to take that into account one day when we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. And then I want you to finally see that the passage tells us that the Pharisees got all bent out of shape over the less important matters of the law. Now listen, let me remind you something about the Pharisees. These Pharisees are the same men that jumped on Jesus Christ and jumped on His disciples because they were eating with unwashed hands. That's the same group of folks that set up a false witness to lie about Jesus Christ so they can have Him tortured and murdered. That's what you get with religious people. Listen, you know what hell is full of? It's full of religious people. Religion will damn your soul to hell quicker than anything. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you need to follow Him because you love Him. Not because you think you're self-righteousness and you think you're better than everybody else. But just hang on. We'll get on that in a minute. Now, Matthew Henry, when he's commenting about this passage, he says this. He says, the Pharisees were strict and precise in the smaller matters of the law, but as careless and loose in the weightier matters. That's exactly how the Pharisees were. Now, folks, listen to me. Here at Holy Hills, we are going to major on the majors and minor on the minors. It is the devil that wants us to major on the minors so he can get us to fuss and to cuss and to split and divide and be conquered. That's what he wants. And there are a few things that are worth splitting the church over, but very, very few. There are a few things that are weightier that we need to take a stand on, but very, very few. Listen, when you read on up down in that passage, he says, you blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He's talking about a strainer. That's the only time you see that word strain show up in the entire King James Bible. He's talking about straining something out. And the connotation, the point of the passage is, he's saying, you Pharisees, what you do is you get out a little old strainer to try to make sure a gnat don't go through it to get in your soup, while at the same time you just take a camel and eat him hide, hair, eyeballs, and everything. That's what a stinking Pharisee does. I mean, it's much more important that I keep the camel out of my soup than the gnat. But a Pharisee don't know, you know. He's focusing on things that don't matter. I'd much rather eat a gnat than camel eyeballs, I guarantee you. Now listen to me. Listen to me this morning. Talking about the weightier matters. There are a few things worth taking a stand on. There are some weightier matters. There are some things that we ought to major on. I think of three things. When it comes to the man and the message and the ministry of this church, we ought to stand on it. The man is the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't apologize for that. It's worth telling folks to take a hike if they don't believe that. There's only one way to salvation. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to compromise on that. We're not going to change it to be politically correct or to reach Dyer County. We stand on the Jesus Christ, that He is the preeminent one. He is the ruler of this church. He's the shepherd of this church. I'm His under-shepherd. I'm the one that's trying to lead the best I can, if you'll pray for me to do that. But Jesus Christ is the preeminence in this church. And all you narcissists just need to settle down and be quiet. It's not about you. It's about Him. Everybody in this church should get on the same line and get in program and say it's about Him and getting His will done instead of your stinking selfish needs. Holy Hills Baptist Church will do greater than it's ever done. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's worth busting the church up over taking a stand on that King James Bible. We believe that God gave us the perfect book to govern our lives by. And it is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. And if you don't believe that, we just can't get along, brother. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Absolutely not. Amos didn't think so. I don't think so. Take a hike. We're not stopping on that. When it comes to salvation by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what we're going to stand on. If you believe you need to be baptized, if you believe you need to join the church, you believe you need a sprinkle, you believe you need to endure to the end, speak an unknown utterance, pass out, heal somebody, get a devil in you, whatever you believe. We're not going that route. You go somewhere else down the road and let them blah, 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 blah all over you and put a devil inside of you. Kickstart my Honda, bow tie, tie my bow tie and all the other stuff they say. When it comes to the ministry, listen, when it comes to the return of Christ, we're not compromising on that. Well, I'm not going through the tribulation. You're messed up in the head. Some of you folks, you survivalists and you anti-government and you want to put 100 pounds of rice in a bunker for the bad days. Your rice and your pistols ain't going to save you. If you're left here when the Antichrist shows up, you're going to get decapitated or you're going to hell. Amen. I ain't going to be here when he shows up. I'm going to be raptured out. We're not compromising on that, okay? We're standing on that. When it comes to the mission and the ministry of this church, we are soul winners. And we're building this church up to try to reach the lost and to minister and to teach the book and to rightly divide that. That's the weightier matters. We're going to stand on that. And it doesn't matter to me who comes in with what kind of money and what kind of clout. And we want the big muckety-mucks in our church. And Brother Dennis, you better not offend him because he gives the most in the church. Let me just tell you something. Let me just part there for a second. Brother, I've been preaching for 20-something years and I ain't changing right now. I don't give a rip how much you get and how much you give. I ain't changing my methods for nobody. You put that in your pipe and smoke it. If you don't like that, I'll preach some more on it. Let me tell you something. I ain't never signed a check and I ain't never looked who gives what. I don't give a rip who gives what. I don't want to know who gives what in the church. That way when I get up there and get ready to bust your head with something, I don't care how much you give or you don't give. That person that joins this church that never puts a dime in a plate are just as important to me as you. I know you don't like that. I know that. Oh, God in heaven, help them, help them, help them, help Brother Dennis to go on. Help them to go on. We don't want to run the visitors off. We're not compromising on that. However, there are a host of things that we are not going to split the church over. I'm not saying that they're not important. Some of them ain't important, but some of them are. Some of them are, but listen to me now. They're not weightier matters. They're not significant things. They're not important things. And we can't let that mess bust the church up. When it comes to personality and personal convictions, we have a church full of people, and everybody's got a lot of different personalities, don't they? We got some nice, sweet, kind people in here who are very analytical, and then we got some hot-tempered people in here. We have all, amen. We got all kind of personality types in here. Now listen, we're just gonna have to stay calm, man. I mean, we cannot let our personalities get in control of us and start running people off. If you're a bully, if you're naturally a bully and like to get mad and blow off, you need to keep your mouth shut. You need to get some control over yourself. Some folks have been coming up to me and saying, boy, they told me Brother Dennis is a good preacher. I mean, you come here and find out how good it is. Let me tell you something. We're not busting the church up over personalities and personal convictions. That's what they are. They're personal convictions. They're yours. Keep them to yourself. I have convictions. I have personal standards and convictions that I impose on myself because I believe that's what I have to do as a pastor and a child of God to represent Jesus Christ. I have my own dress standards. I have my own standards of where I go and what I don't go, where I don't go. My own standards of what I listen to and don't listen to. I have developed those standards and convictions based on a walk for 20 plus years with the Lord Jesus Christ. However, they're mine, not yours. And listen, you know what a Pharisee does? He takes his personal standards and his personal convictions and he tries to put them on somebody else. And you couldn't find it in a King James Bible with a magnifying glass. Now, let me tell you something now. We're not standing at the back door and start measuring hem lines. We're not standing at the back door saying, if you wear pants, you can't come in here. You keep your mouth shut. That's between them and the Lord. I know some of you old-timers don't like that. I ain't worried about the old-time way. I'm worried about the King James Bible way. We're going to do what God says about it. You can't find me a verse in there that says a woman can't wear pants. I know I'm just going to blow it all out today. I know some of you's looking at me like, shut up, calm down, shut up. Let me tell you something. A fellow told me one time, he said, every time you see the word richer show up in the Bible, it's talking about a man. Yeah, what that man didn't tell you is because I did the word study, see. He don't know a thimble full of the Bible. Because every time you see the word richer show up in the King James Bible, you see it's talking about the high priest or a Levite. That's what they had to wear. He left out that information. Let me tell you something. Boy, I got the knife in, Sonny, so I'm going to turn it a little bit. All that I care about is doing what that book right there says. I don't care about the independent Baptist way or the Southern Baptist way or your grandpappy's way. I don't care about what tradition taught you or what you always thought or what you all your great-granddaddy down the road told you. Go dig great-granddaddy up out of the grave and see what he thinks now. I'm worried about what that King James book says. That's all. And the devil will use you to get a pet peeve about your personal conviction and running through here and putting them on everybody else and bust this thing to hell and back. How many of you still glad you came this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Some of you didn't. Let me tell you something. We are not going to split the church over the order of the service. Where do you sit down, stand up, how many songs you sing? Listen. If you don't want to stand up or you can't stand up, let me go ahead and tell you, it's all right not to stand up. I don't care. But don't get mad. Why are we standing up? We used to stand up when we sang. Because the singing was pitiful. That's why. You need to stand up and sing loud. If you can't stand up, you've got some kind of physical ailment where you can't stand up, or you just don't want to stand up, or you just want to be rebellious to the song leader, then sit down. I don't care. But don't run your mouth about it. Sit down, stand up. I don't care. We ain't going to split the church over it. Amen. Is that everything you told me to say, Brother Dan? Amen. Music preferences. Well, I like bluegrass. Well, I like this. Well, I like this, you know, that, I don't care much for that. We're not going to split the church over it. Listen, man, we're not going to do that. Well, I don't like the way he plays that piano. Well, have you ever played a piano? No, you can't play a piano. You couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. You just sit down there and criticize and run your mouth about how he plays it. Amen. You couldn't play a juice harp. I can't either. My granddaddy had an old juice harp, and I tried to play it one time when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I went, boom, 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 whop, and that thing hit my front of my tooth. My tooth is still there. Some of you looking at me, you don't even know what a juice harp is. You ain't from Alabama down in the country. Well, you know what? My granddaddy had a juice harp. Of course, my granddaddy kept his teeth for the last 30 years in a jar, so he didn't... I don't reckon the juice harp ain't going to hit his teeth. I mean, that's like a fellow, I got to tell you this, ain't got nothing to do with the message, but that's like this fellow that's kin to us. He lived down there in South Alabama. He's a real tough fella, and he was known to fight, and he liked to fight, and he's good at fighting. He went in a bar one day, and he was up in Montgomery, wound up in a bar, and a fella got mad with him and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to knock your teeth out. He said, buddy, if you knock my teeth out, you got a mighty long arm because my teeth are back in a jar in Andalusia, Alabama. Amen. You might whip me, but you ain't going to knock my teeth out. Amen. Let me tell you something. We're not going to split the church over decorations. One time down there, this church I used to pastor before I came up here, we put out these poinsettias during Christmas. And they're pretty. You don't need to eat them or nothing. I heard they'll kill you. They're poisonous. I wonder why you line your altars up with poisonous stuff. But anyway, we put these poinsettias out every year for Christmas, and people put in memory of. And some dear saint forgot to put in memory of, and somebody blowed a gasket in the church. Now listen to me. You'd bust the church wide open over an innocent mistake. You'd get mad and fuss and complain and run your mouth and get all upset over an innocent mistake. Do you by any means of imagination believe that somebody would purposely leave off in memory of so they could hurt your feelings about a loved one that you dedicated that poisonous plant in front for there? You know who's telling you to get upset and cry about that? I'll tell you who it is. That one. That's who's telling you to cause problems over that. The bulletin. We're not going to split the church over the bulletin. Well, I don't like this. I just wish they would do that. And they didn't put my name back there. And they didn't put my name in. They recognize everybody and put all these people's name in there and numbers. Why ain't my name and number in there? With that kind of attitude, that proves your name and number don't need to be in here. Hey, you mean to tell me, but I know Baptists, see, I know Baptists. I've been around the block a few times. The Baptists would bust the church wide open over a piece of paper. You need to crawl down to this altar. I'm just catching my energy now. Amen. If Brother Sonny, I get that young energy from him. That's why I say some of the things I do. I get that young, lack wisdom, the energy. I like that. I'd rather see a young fella that's still got some control to learn and something. Yeah, listen. He'll learn everything he needs to learn, but he's got zeal. Some of you forgot your zeal years ago. You ain't got excited about nothing for God in many years, and you look at him and say, well, he says this, he does this, he don't do that. Hey, man, why don't you just get excited and shout one time for your life? I mean, you might feel better if you get a little bit of what he's got. Amen. We're not going to split the church over the kitchen. Now, why are most of you smiling and some of you frowning? I know why, because you already been touched by him. We're not going to split the church over a stinking kitchen. Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians 11, you got houses to eat in. Oh, boy. When that kitchen's done, I promise you, they won't no two women in this church agree on it. Amen. You ever seen a woman that agreed about how her kitchen ought to be with another woman? You're crazy. We're going to do the best we can. We got the operation in motion. We're going to have us a nice kitchen here at the church, and that's all I can tell you. And anybody else that says anything else about it that's willing to bust up this church over that mess, you're a problem. You're a problem. Your problem. We're not going to bust the church up over Sunday school rooms and teachers and classes and who gets this room and who gets that one. We're not going to do that. It don't matter if you meet out in the parking lot. It don't matter. It don't matter if you meet out there in one of them buses. I know it's getting quiet. I'm telling you something right now. It's the devil and the little small things to get you stirred up about something that does not have any eternal value. 50 years after you're dead and gone, who gives a rip what Sunday school room you use? Who gives a rip what Sunday school room we put these bus kids in? If they don't get saved, they go to heaven. For God's sake, what's wrong with the church? We better start getting our minds on the spiritual things. God help us to worship a building instead of the one that gave us the building. It's ridiculous. We're not splitting the church up over the color of the carpet. Selection of the paint. I read this book by Thomas Rainer. I actually preached a series in my last church. He wrote a book, Thomas Rainer wrote a book entitled The Autopsy of a Deceased Church. And he went in there and he studied churches over the years that had closed their doors. They died. He even spoke of one church in the 70s, Brother Billy, that had, now I don't think it was quite like us, but it was evangelical. It was preaching the gospel. A church in the 70s that had 700 people on a Sunday morning. That was their average attendance. 700 people. And years later, it has so much disruption and dissension. Brother Leonard, it padlocked the doors, and it went from 700 to nobody. And there ain't a church there no more. God in heaven, how can you go from 700 to nobody? Junk like I'm talking about. Mess that don't even matter. I also read in that book where a church split over the pulpit. They called the split old pulpit versus new pulpit. Both of the churches, if I'm remembering the story right, both of the churches wound up closing down. The one group left and took the old pulpit with them. That's silly. Makes me want to take this pulpit and just throw it down out there in the rope. I wouldn't hit nobody with it. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know who dedicated this thing. Let me tell you something, and you listen to me very carefully. You don't make monuments in the church out of furniture. Amen. And I told that church down there, they put my name on a plaque in that church where we built stuff and had stuff up there and whatever. You know what I told them? I said this. I said, that's fine. You can put my name where we built the sanctuary and we built the fellowship hall down there. I said, but the day that it doesn't, is not useful anymore. I said, you take a bulldozer and you run over and you tear it all down and you laugh and say, I wish Brother Dennis was here to see us tear all this stuff he built up down. If God told you to build it, you won't mind tearing it down for God. If you build it for God, you'll tear it down for God. If you build it for self, it'll become a monument and it'll receive more worship than Jesus Christ will. And that's when you split the church over old pulpit versus new pulpit. This is a pulpit that my preacher that led me to the Lord, he wiped his nose right here. He sweated on this thing. I want to keep the old pulpit, the old ways. What do you mean the old ways? You take that old pulpit and saw it up and start a fire with it. Oh, brother Leonard, this is going, some of these people, they ain't jiving with this, man. You know why? They're more concerned with objects than with Him. God didn't give us a physical building to focus on the physical. He gave us a building here to keep clean and to keep managed and to have this nice sanctuary and these nice lights, all with one purpose, to do something spiritual. To do something spiritual. To meet here, get what we need, leave the church and go spread the good news out everywhere. That's what He gave us this structure for. We're not going to split the church over who was asked to sing a special and who wasn't. Mark, I'm so upset you ain't asked me to sing a special yet. And I'm the pastor. Mark knows he don't want to hear me sing. Everybody ain't called to sing. Matter of fact, you ought to pray before you come up and ask if you can sing a special. Make sure the Lord wants you to do it. If you think the Lord wants you to do it, then you ought to do it. We're not going to split the church on who accidentally did not get a card when they were in the hospital. I hit a nerve, didn't I? I had a dear saint, and I love her, and she's a good woman. I still think she's a good woman. Got all sideways because somebody else down there in that church I left got flowers and a card or something other, and she didn't. And I told her, I said, I know the people in that other church where I was at, we had a benevolent committee that took care of that. They always sent out flowers. They would send out fruit baskets to men because men don't want flowers. They would take cards. Everybody was in the hospital. We'd keep a record of it and they'd take care of that. Well, somebody slipped through the cracks. You know that happens sometimes. And this woman couldn't hardly stand it because somebody had died in her family and something wouldn't sit out. And I thought to myself, you've been in this church a long time and you know that Pleasant Grove Baptist Church is a loving, caring, kind church that reaches out to people. Now, you ought to be mature enough to know that what didn't get sent in the time of the death of your loved one was totally accidental. Instead of blowing up and sulling up like a bullfrog. But it's that little stuff that'll mess the work of God up. I know what I'm talking about. We're not going to split the church over the AC versus the heating. I'm cold. I'm hot. Listen, man, we got young people in here. We got people that are real healthy. We got people like me that's real fat that need more air. We got old people. We got young people. We got hormonal people. Let's move on quickly. Listen, we are not, amen, we are not, some of you men, you know what I'm talking about. We are not going to be able to fix the thermostat for everybody. And what you need to do, if it's so tough, and it's pretty cold in here to me, but maybe it's not to you, and I'm okay with that. Bring you one of them funeral home fans. Now they got them little bitty electric fans. I won't care as long as they just blow it in your face. I don't know what else to tell you, man. I do know this, though. It's not worth busting the church up over. Amen. We're not going to bust the church up over flowers and hedges and parking. Amen. If you bust a church up and ain't no people here, it don't matter what kind of flowers we plant. It ain't going to do no good. Ain't nobody coming. Look at those pretty, beautiful flowers right there that nobody ever comes by anymore. You know why? Why don't they come by to see our pretty flowers anymore, Sonny? Oh, because we busted the church up over the pretty flowers. And I have this question. Why is it in my ministry that nobody's ever mad or upset because we haven't baptized anyone in several months? Nobody ever goes, Brother Dennis, I'm just furious. I'm mad. We haven't picked up a new missionary in a long time. Brother Dennis, I'm so upset. We didn't have any visitors here this morning. Nah, you upset over stuff that don't even matter. That's what you're upset about. Now listen. And listen to this warning very carefully as I get ready to close this morning. Some of you are saying, thank God. Well, please listen to me. The devil will bust this church up into 1,000 pieces just over such trivial junk as this. If he can split us, then our money is not pooled together to do something for Christ. If he can split us, we don't have the manpower and we can't do the ministry. We can't witness in the community. It's all gone. And if he can bust us up, you know what can happen now? Listen to me, church. Please listen. I'm going to read this word for word as I wrote it down. Then the world can once again mock God's people because they are so divisive and unforgiving. Won't get it? Where we can, so the lost world can once again mock us down here. See there, I told you. That's your typical Christian. That's your typical church. That's your typical bunch. Hypocrites. Mock us. Make fun of us. Because we couldn't keep together over little bitty things. There's a poem that I heard years ago. I liked it. I was in high school. Always remember this poem. I'm not going to read a poem to you, so everybody relax. I am, however, going to read the first line to you. It's a poem by a man named Rudyard Kipling. Rudyard Kipling has a famous poem called If. If you know anything about poetry, you've heard this poem. In the first line of this poem, he says this. Now listen to me. Everybody listen to me. He says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. I was sitting as this sermon came to my mind this week when I was down in Alabama, and that poem instantly came to my mind. And I thought, in a very, very spiritual application, this is what we got to do. Now, some of you, you've already expressed anger. I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help you. Now, I'm closing it down. But some of you's already expressed anger and upset and run your mouth and said stuff that's got back to me and problems over stuff that don't even matter. And listen, right now we are in a very special stage. God has turned this thing around. People are coming back. We feel the presence of God in this church. I mean, God's getting on me. He's giving me the messages. Things are happening. And you know right now what also is going on? People getting upset over useless, needless junk. Do you know what we're going to have to do in here spiritually? Listen, we're going to have to keep our head. We're going to have to keep our emotions in check. We're going to have to watch that mouth right here in the beginning stages to keep this thing heading in the right direction. And it's worth taking the hit. It's worth taking the loss. It's worth taking the hurt. It's worth not getting your way for the glory of God. That maybe I don't get what I want, but the church as a whole excels. That's what it's about. It's majoring on the weightier matters. And I'll say this as I close. Folks, we're going to have to focus on everyone else. You know what Romans 12:10 says? It says, in honor, preferring one another. Now, the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And the way that we honor, he tells you, he defines that in the verse. One of the ways you honor somebody and show them honor is by putting them ahead of yourself. If I'm going to honor my wife, you know what it means for me to honor my wife as her husband? It's to deny myself and not do some of the things I want to do so I can do some of the things she wants to do. Not go get in a deer stand, but go to Walmart.
Yeah.
That's a great denial. But God help us. God help us to get to the point where we think about the group, the church, the calls, everybody else, and somewhere way down the line, think of ourselves last. It's the weightier matters. Some things are worth saying goodbye. Most, the overwhelming majority, most things are not. And we are not going to bust this church over little bitty petty things.
Amen.
I don't know if any of you's got guts to come to the altar after this, but some of you need to. Every head bowed and eye closed.